This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. If you'd like to make an appointment with me, you can. Call our office. Speak to Grimaldi. She'll set you up. The number is 212-779-1744. If you're not in the New York or tri-state area, no reason to travel to see me. I do phone consultations regularly with patients and clients all over the country. So don't let that keep you from making an appointment with me should you wish to do so. I want to talk to you today about a few things. First of all, there is a study in Evolution, Medicine, and Public Health, an adaptive response to uncertainty can lead to weight gain during dieting attempts. So an adaptive response to uncertainty, we're good at adaptation to any circumstances, right? Including our habits, our bad habits, all of that kind of thing. Our bodies are pretty elegant and they can recover quickly. We can be resilient if we take better care of ourselves. But this is about an adaptive response to uncertainty can lead to weight gain during dieting attempts. So what's this about? People's attempts to lose weight by low-calorie diets often result in weight gain because of overcompensatory overeating during lapses. Yeah, hey, it's hard to follow a low-calorie diet. That's why I say, how often do you want to be hungry? How long do you want to go hungry? Because that's what a low-calorie diet does. It keeps you hungry. What happens when we're hungry for that long? We're cranky. We're going to fall off the wagon, so to speak. We're going to eat. So, people's attempts to lose weight by low-calorie diets often result in weight gain because of overcompensatory overeating during lapses. Oh yeah. Animals usually respond to a change in food availability by adjusting their foraging effort and altering how much energy reserves they store. But in many situations, the long-term availability of food is uncertain. So animals may attempt to estimate it to decide the appropriate level of fat storage. This is coming out of, by the way, Evolution, Medicine, and Public Health, the Center for Research in Animal Behavior, College of Life and Environmental Sciences, University of Exeter in the UK, among other universities in the UK, University of Bristol, both of those universities, University of Exeter and University of Bristol. So what they're finding is that animals in many situations, the long-term availability of food is uncertain, so animals may attempt to estimate it to decide the appropriate level of fat storage. That's pretty intelligent. So what the scientists did, their methodology is they report the results of a conceptual model of feeding in which the animal knows whether food is currently abundant or limited, but does not know the proportion of time there will be an abundance in the long term and has to learn it. So let me just, they report on a conceptual model of feeding in which the animal knows whether food is currently abundant or limited, but does not know the proportion of time there will be an abundance in the long term and has to learn it. So the result, if the food supply is limited much of the time, such as during cycles of dieting attempts, right? When we're on a diet, we know our food is limited, our calories are limited. If the food supply is limited much of the time, such as during cycles of dieting attempts, the optimal response is to gain a lot of weight when food is abundant. Yeah. That's for us humans too. Yeah. Conclusions and implications. This implies that recurring attempts to diet by signaling to the body that the food supply is often insufficient will lead to a greater fat storage than if food was always abundant. Our results shed light on the widespread phenomenon of weight gain during weight cycling and indicate possible interventions that may reduce the incidence of obesity. So think of what's happening here. It's almost like part of this is a scarcity mindset. Those who grew up in the era of the Great Depression, for example, they save, they hoard, they do, they don't waste. All of that. It's a mindset that goes. When we are attempting a low-calorie diet in an effort to lose weight, it can have the same kind of effect. So that when we're off the diet to feed up now, because we're going to go back on that unholy low-calorie diet that we ate so much and always being hungry. Another thing happens when we are chronically hungry. It causes stress. That can raise your cortisol levels, besides making you cranky and irritable to be hungry, right? Think of low blood sugar. That also causes hangriness. That's a combination of hunger and anger right there. If we are dealing with this chronically, think about it. Our stress hormone levels are going to go up. And what does cortisol do? Yes, that's right. You guessed it. Packs on belly fat. Packs on the fat we are so desperately trying to get rid of. So, in a way, this study is telling us something pretty obvious, or at least for us nutritionally oriented practitioners, nutritionists, doctors, all of that. Yeah, we kind of already know this. And any of you who have been on a diet, and that includes most of us, know that it's hard to do a low-calorie diet to lose weight because we're going hungry. So, evolution, medicine, and public health, an adaptive response to uncertainty can lead to weight gain during dieting attempts. Right. Because imagine there's a cascade of different biochemical reactions that are occurring in our bodies with scarcity when the calories we feel aren't enough or we're going hungry. Cortisol is one of those things. So think about that. And anytime our blood sugar is going too low, it is signaling the adrenals of a little bit of an alarm, an emergency. We're hungry, but we didn't eat. So the adrenals secrete all these catecholamines, adrenaline, noradrenaline, all of that, in an effort to normalize blood sugar so that we can feel better. As I said, our metabolisms are elegant at trying to adapt. Isn't that a blessing? So, don't do a low-calorie diet. The answer is to do a low-carb diet. Once you've gone through the initial week of withdrawal and being a little hungry, it passes, it diminishes. And then you could lose weight happily ever after, no longer being hungry, because that's what a low-carb diet does. A low-calorie diet, not so much. Moving on. This is from Integrative Practitioner. Vitamin D may benefit cancer patients, study says. This comes from the Journal of Clinical Oncology. Vitamin D, if taken for at least 3 years, could help cancer patients live longer, according to new research from Michigan State University and published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology. The researchers looked at data, tomato, tomato, okay. The researchers looked at data related to disease prevention from more than 79,000 patients in multiple studies that randomly compared the use of vitamin D to a placebo over at least a 3 year period. So think about this, more than 79,000 patients in multiple studies that randomly compared the use of vitamin D versus placebo in at least a 3 year period. Tarek Haykal, lead author on the study, and an internal medicine resident physician at Michigan State University and Hurley Medical Center in Flint, Michigan, and his team focused on information that involved cancer incidence and mortality. The difference in the mortality rate between the vitamin D and placebo groups was statistically significant enough that it showed how important it might be among the cancer population. So think about that. The difference in the mortality rate between the vitamin D takers and the ones who didn't was statistically significant enough to show that it's that important. Now, while these findings show promise, Haykal cautioned that the exact amount of the vitamin to take and what levels are needed in the blood are still unknown. He also said that it's unclear how much longer vitamin D extends lifespan and why it has this result. There are still many more questions and more research is needed, Haykal says. All we can say is that at least 3 years of taking the supplement is required to see any effect. And of course, a scientist who does research is going to say, more research is needed. That's how they stay in business. But this does merit further review. We know that we like to see amongst all of our patients a vitamin D level of at least over 50, over 55. The optimal range being anywhere between 55 and 85. For those with cancer, we like to see it even higher, but still a little less than 100. So we want to see cancer patients, especially those undergoing cancer treatments, with a vitamin D level around 85 or so. So Haykal says that these results show enough promise, however, that he would like to see more doctors, especially oncologists, prescribe vitamin D to patients in general. I would agree. He says that we know it carries benefits with minimal side effects. So there's plenty of potential here. Yeah, we know this. And that's why it's important when you're checking your vitamin D levels. And this isn't just for cancer patients, it's for everybody. When you're checking your vitamin D levels, typically twice a year, once at the end of summer, where you may find your vitamin D levels higher, and once at the end of winter, where you might find your vitamin D levels lower. You don't necessarily want to take the same dose of vitamin D all year long. You want to go with where your levels are at. So it's important to check, not just indiscriminately take 5,000 international units a day for years and years and years and years. I mean, you could probably do okay with 1,000 or 2,000 IU for a very long period of time without checking, but I don't recommend it. I always recommend testing first before prescribing, before dosing. This is the way it's done in intelligent medicine. With all of my new patients, if they don't already have a recent vitamin D test or results available for me to look at, I always request that as one of the top tests for them to go back and get from their doctors. So it's very important to check your vitamin D levels. And let me give you a scenario. If your dose, if your vitamin D level, say, is 20, whoa, that's pretty low. Although your primary care might say, no, as long as it's 20 or over, you're okay. Here in intelligent medicine, in integrative and functional medicine, we say, no, below 40 is deficiency. Absolutely deficiency below 40. So we might say to you, take 5,000 IU a day. Dr. Hoffman may tell you to take 10,000 IU a day and then test you again in 3 or 4 months. But optimal levels are anywhere between 55 and 85. Now, if you find that your levels are already, say, 80, should you be taking 5,000 IU a day? No, unless you're a cancer patient, because that vitamin D will be beneficial. And your doctor should be monitoring your vitamin D level, right? That's the result of the study. They're saying that oncologists should be recommending vitamin D. I agree. So doing that is appropriate. Now, for anybody else without cancer and they get a recent blood test of they've got a vitamin D level of 80 or 90, should you be taking 5,000 IU a day? No, you need to reduce it down now. You may want to stop for 2 or 3 weeks and then start taking 2,000 so that your levels never really get below 55, 60 or so. That's where we want to keep it. Now, for those of you saying, no, but it's summer and sunlight and all of that, absolutely. Go out. And you need to go out, and this is against the advice of dermatologists, you know. Dermatologists will say, no, go out before high noon. Go out at 10 a.m. and again at 3 p.m., but wear your sunblock. That's not when we get vitamin D. We get those UVB rays at lunchtime. That means between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. And if you're wearing any amount of sunblock, you're not going to get those UVB rays. So what do? Go outside at lunchtime. With your arms bare, your legs bare, maybe your chest, your back, right? Shorts and a tank top. That's what we're talking about. Something like that. Or your bathing suit. Go out there for 5 minutes, for 20 minutes. Enough for you to get a tiny bit pink, but not burn. We don't ever want you to sunburn. And then after that amount of time, you can come in and then put on your sunblock. I want you to check your ingredients on that sunblock. A lot of them contain phthalates, parabens, nanoparticles, all kinds of things you should not be putting on your body. Remember, our skin is the largest organ, and our skin absorbs a lot. In fact, we absorb a lot more aluminum from our antiperspirant, our underarm antiperspirant, than we do eating out of aluminum pots and pans. Believe it or not, it's true. So, beware your sunblock. If you're looking for good quality sunblock, start at the health food store. I would encourage you to go to this website, environmentalworkinggroup.org. That's EWG.org, EWG.org. There's also another website, and these two websites link to one another, safecosmetics.org, safecosmetics.org. There's no space between, no dash. It's safecosmetics.org. That might be a .com on that second one, but you'll check and see. They list the safest ingredients, cosmetics. They list the particular brands with the safest ingredients. They list particular brands that may be risky. They list the brands that they don't recommend that could be the most toxic. So important to do that. Now, I said, go out at lunchtime, get some sun, right? Well, guess what? If you're over the age of 65, you may not have enough D70-hydrocholesterol underneath your skin to react with those UVB rays to actually make vitamin D. So if you're over the age of 65, you're lacking that beneficial cholesterol. Yes, that's what I said. Beneficial cholesterol under the skin. It's 7-hydroxycholesterol, I believe, under the skin that reacts with the UVB rays from the sun that only occur when it's high noon or between 11 and 1, 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. That's when we get the UVB rays to react with that cholesterol under the skin. So for those of you over age 65, get your blood levels checked and take an appropriate supplement. Take an appropriate dose for the blood level that you're at that time of year, wherever you are at that time of year. Dosing with vitamin D is absolutely appropriate. And for those of you who can't spend any time in the sun, you get allergic reaction, you break out in hives or other things, we have patients like that, don't. Take a vitamin D tablet or capsule. Make sure it's vitamin D3, cholecalciferol, not vitamin D2, which is ergocalciferol. You want cholecalciferol. So very important there. Another thing with regard to what dermatologists are advising, you know, to go out at 10 a.m. or 3 p.m., that's when the aging UVA rays are present. It's a great way to get wrinkles, right? So you probably want to cover up a little more than get the ample dose at lunchtime of your vitamin D and then wear appropriate clothing. Put on a big floppy hat and you'll be good to go. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.